Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and just over 4 years ago, former professional football player Pat Tillman was killed during a gun battle in a remote Afghan canyon. He was posthumously awarded a Silver Star by the Army, which cited his death, quote, in the line of devastating enemy fire, unquote. Of course, in the years since, we've learned more and more about the circumstances surrounding Pat Tillman's death. He was, in fact, killed by friendly fire, a fact that was slow to emerge. And details continue to emerge, including evidence of a possible cover-up on the part of the Army. It is 7 official investigations and countless inquiries later, and just this past Monday, the Tillman family received its latest briefing on the details surrounding Pat's death. And joining us to talk about the life and death of Pat Tillman is Mary Tillman, his mother. Her new book is called Boots on the Ground by Dusk, and it is out now from Modern Times Books. Mary, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can we start with the very latest, the briefing that you received on Monday from the Defense Department? What was new here?
Actually, I'm not familiar with with a briefing.
Okay, sorry. There was a press report. So
I am not even familiar with it, to be honest. I've been on airplanes, and if there was one, I haven't seen it.
Well, you were interviewed on Morning Edition yesterday. Mm-hmm. We heard some of that, and you sounded, understandably, pretty angry with the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Defense Department tried to cover something up?
Oh, yes, definitely I do. I believe that because of Pat's high-profile status, and he was killed the month of April 2004 when there was chaos in Fallujah, the Abu Ghraib prison scandal was breaking, the president's approval ratings were very poor, and the most casualties of the war at that time were in that month. And I think that proved to be disastrous for the military and the administration.
So you think they just didn't want to have to deal with the public fallout of one of the most high-profile war on terror recruits in the entire military being killed by friendly fire?
Yes. In fact, there is a general, and he's cited in the book, when he's questioned by the third investigator, he's basically asked, you know, what was the tone among the higher-ups in the high level of chain of command after Pat's death? And he said, well, it was like we're giving you a steak dinner, but we're handing it to you on a garbage can cover. You've got it. You work it. In other words, Pat's death, they felt, could be used to their advantage. Unfortunately, it was a fratricide, so therefore they would have to spin the story to make it palatable to the public.
I want to go back before your son's death, even before his deployment. Were you surprised that he decided to give up his football career and his, you know, the safety and effect that came with his celebrity? And, of course, there's no draft in this country, and he didn't have to enlist. Were you surprised that he decided to do it?
Yes and no. I mean, my boys were raised with a respect for the military. There are a lot of family members that served, and you know, they were raised to have respect for service to country and such. So in that sense, I wasn't surprised. But, you know, Pat just got married, and, you know, he had been playing for the NFL. He had established a place in that system. In that sense, I suppose I was a little surprised. But what disturbed me was, and I was proud of them both, you know, that extremely proud of them for making this decision. What was disturbing about it, though, to me, was the fact that the members of this administration never served. I mean, certainly President Bush was in the National Guard, the Texas National Guard, but it would seem to me, looking at anything, you know, that I've read about it, is he served there to avoid combat. And I think it's very Freudian that he is sending the National Guard to multiple deployments and extended deployments now.
When he first joined, the Army was quick to promote his service. Did he feel uneasy about that attention? Did he ever talk to you about that?
Yeah, he felt very uneasy about it. And he chose not to speak to the media because he felt there were lots of people enlisting and why should he be special in some way. But he was also annoyed that they wanted to have him go to Washington and be more of a recruiter rather than go abroad. And he absolutely objected to that. And it really did concern him that if something did happen to him, they would try to use him.
We can take some phone calls for Mary Tillman at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So do you think that the way in which the Army had promoted your son prior to his death colored their approach to the circumstances surrounding his being killed?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I think if, they hadn't, publicized it to the degree that they did, then I think that they probably wouldn't have been in such an awkward position when he was killed.
You said that when you first heard of Pat's death, you felt as if the narrative the Army had presented was a little too tidy. So did you have doubts right away that perhaps you weren't getting the full truth?
No, I don't think it was a matter that we thought we were being lied to or anything. It just struck us as odd that the story was seemed so contrived in a sense, like something from a movie. And I think it was a subliminal feeling, and I don't think any of us voiced it. But once we learned about the friendly fire or the fratricide, I think it made more sense, actually.
At this point, there are basically parallel investigations going on. The Army continues to investigate, and you've launched your own investigations, interviewing soldiers who were with Pat the day he died and poring through official documents. What was the point at which you decided that the official investigations weren't getting you the right kind of information, since you said you didn't suspect that initially?
Well, we didn't suspect it when we first heard of his death. And, of course, when they came to us and gave us the initial story about the fratricide, we took it at face value. But 3 weeks later, we got an official briefing up in Fort Lewis, and crucial portions of the story started changing in terms of visibility, the distance that Pat and the AMF soldier were from the vehicle of shooters, the fact that we were told the Afghan militia soldier was standing and shot 8 times in the chest, and then 3 weeks later we were told actually he was in a prone position, which doesn't make any sense if he's shot 8 times in the chest. So these things are crucial information, and we started to have serious doubts.
And his uniform was burned, Pat's, afterwards, which is highly unusual. And was that done perhaps to hide evidence of U.S. bullets?
Well, that's what we think. Although it's not supposed to be done. The fact is they're not supposed to destroy the uniforms of dead soldiers, especially if they suspect fratricide, suicide, or execution. And unfortunately, according to the medical examiner, there are many times soldiers are returned home without their things. But what's interesting is just months before Pat was killed, there was an edict sent out to the Secretary of the Army, Secretary of the Navy, Joint Chiefs, and it was sent all over the military that it was crucial that soldiers who they thought died by suicide, fratricide, or execution, those belongings must go back to the medical examiner. And the fact that Pat was so high profile, the fact that it was clearly a fratricide in the very beginning and they destroyed the evidence is upsetting.
Mary Tillman, mother of Pat Tillman, my guest on WNYC. She has written a book called Boots on the Ground by Dusk. And Alex in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Pat Tillman, with Mary Tillman. Hello.
Hello, Brian. I served in Iraq many, many years ago, and I can just relate one situation where two soldiers in my overall unit were killed because one of them was literally playing around with unexploded Iraqi ordnance. And I am 100% sure that their families were not told, a soldier died or your son died because, he was basically being not smart about, explosives. So part of the reason why stories get told to family members sometimes is to protect the family members, because you much rather think that your son or daughter died fighting, an enemy than died because of their own, I hate to say it, but stupidity. Sometimes
right.
That's not what happened here.
Not what happened here. But
not
do you think on some level that the administration, Mary, was trying to protect your feelings?
No, not at all. I understand what he's saying, and I can appreciate that. In fact, I've heard similar stories, and but I also know of situations where soldiers were also had done something that was not smart or careless, and their family was told the truth. I think a lot of it depends on the regiment or whatever. But and I appreciate this young man's take, but I don't think that's the case in Pat's situation.
And we appreciate your service, Alex. Are there any policy issues here with respect to what happens in battle? You know, if you always want to avoid friendly fire, obviously. So is that part of the issue for you, is seeing what was done mistakenly, what was done incorrectly, if training wasn't right, anything like that?
Well, I think that there was a combination of a lot of things. A lot of the soldiers in the vehicle, there were about five or six soldiers in this vehicle, and several of them did not have their Ranger tabs yet. So I think that the training probably did play a part. Some of it is the youth of some of the soldiers, I'm afraid, although that's not always the case. Some people are quite young and they process information and they are just fine. But I also think that, there was an feeling of relief when they exited the canyon. And I think that they were just the opposite of afraid. I think they actually started feeling safe, but they were pumped up with adrenaline, and I think they just started shooting, and they were being irresponsible and negligent. In fact, they were shooting so wildly, they almost shot the soldiers in the vehicle behind them. And they weren't saying that they were afraid. When they were asked how they felt, they said they were excited. One soldier said, I just wanted to be in a firefight. In fact, the soldier that shot the AMF soldier said he recognized that he was wearing an American uniform. They had served with these AMF soldiers for 2 weeks, and, they should have recognized them as friendly Afghans and not insurgents.
Robert in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Robert.
Hello, thank you. Mrs. Tillman.
Yes.
I noticed several times you used the expression fratricide in execution. Now, I've just heard some speculation, admittedly from some anti-war sources, that Pat may have actually been murdered by his own soldiers because he was strongly opposed to the war in Iraq and was preparing to speak out against it. What was his feelings about the war in Iraq? And also, is there any possibility he was murdered?
Well, he didn't. He did oppose the war in Iraq, and he was actually somewhat vocal about that to us and to some members of his unit. And we did think about that, of course, because we felt like we were being lied to. It occurred to us that could he possibly have been killed on purpose? And in the book, because it's written in the present tense, the reader's obviously aware that we had thought about that. But at this point, I don't think he was deliberately killed. I think it was just what I said, gross negligence. And there was an AP story that came out suggesting Pat was executed. That was unfortunately because that reporter took some information out of context.
Amy in Passaic, you're on WNYC with Mary Tillman. Hi, Amy.
Yeah, hi. Mrs. Tillman, we appreciate your speaking about this issue. I'm the mother of four young children. And we also believe in this commitment to service. Mm-hmm. But what I'm wondering, is there a safe way that children can serve their country? I mean, is it through the academies or is it through some other way? Or is it all, you use the term again, fratricide. Is it all fratricide? Because, the world is shrinking and we are really globally connecting with all of these countries.
Well, I'm sorry. When I'm referring to fratricide, I'm talking about the friendly fire. It's a term used, brother killing brother, and in the sense of that the military is a brotherhood. They use the term fratricide when it's a soldier that kills a soldier in his own army. I'm not sure if you're understanding my meaning of the
right.
word.
I think Amy is more generally anti-war and looking for peaceful resolutions.
Right. And I appreciate that. I am not necessarily anti-war, although I think it's the last measure. And I think that our actions going into Iraq were irresponsible and horrific. But that being said, I think you're right. I think that young people can, there's many ways they can serve their country. And the army is, the military is only one.
So Pat volunteered for Afghanistan. But then when the war in Iraq was starting, he was against that war. So he really drew a distinction between the two wars.
He absolutely did. And he was like a lot of people, you know, that were opposed to going into Iraq. I mean, it was like it didn't make sense, the reasons for our going in. You know, where are these weapons of mass destruction? You know, what are you talking about? It seemed that, you know, Saddam Hussein was the most inert he'd been in a long time. So, you know, what's going on? And this, you know, kind of connecting him with Osama bin Laden, a very you know, fanatical religious leader versus a very secular one. All of those things were, you know, disturbing. But he also, like a lot of us, thought, well, maybe we don't know something. Maybe, you know, we're the public. The administration must know something. But once he got over there, he was disturbed by what appeared to be a lack of planning in terms of going over there. The infrastructure, you know, there was no thought about how they were going to protect the infrastructure in Iraq.
We're just about out of time, but I want to get Ernie's question in because I think it's really apt and troubling to a lot of people. Ernie, you're on WNYC in Brooklyn. Hi.
Good afternoon, and you have my condolences.
Thank you.
First of all, for your loss.
Thank you.
And I'd like to know, how do you feel about this administration taking two members of the same family, whether it's a mother and the father, or two sons or two daughters?
And it's not just this administration. I mean, that's the policy. And in a voluntary army and military, you know, people can enlist, but then they get deployed at the front or not. Have you thought about that, having two of your own?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's a good question. I mean, in the case of my sons, it was their choice to serve. It was their choice to serve in the same unit. So, you know, that is not the fault of the military. But I understand what you're saying, especially in cases where you have a husband and wife and they're both being deployed. I think that's something that should be looked at, because I think for children, that's just devastating.
As
to
a
have.
Mother, did you object to them serving in the same unit and in effect taking the same risk at the same time?
You know, I worried about it, but at the same time, that's what they wanted, and I respected that. So that wasn't my greatest fear.
Mary Tillman, the mother of Pat Tillman, her new book is Boots on the Ground by Dusk, out now from Modern Times Books. She'll be speaking tonight at 7 at Barnes & Noble at 82nd and Broadway if you want to see her in person. 7 o'clock, Barnes & Noble, 82nd and Broadway. Details of that on our website at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our
I appreciate
best wishes
it.
To you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and boy, have we been through a lot today, from the death of Pat Tillman just here to the Arabic-English school controversy in Brooklyn, the Sean Bell aftermath, the stop-and-frisk policy, a New York Post reporter suing for racial profiling, and the fraught enough presidential campaign. So let's finish with just 5 minutes of you calling in and telling us something uplifting that you have seen in a movie or on television or read in a book recently. Give us a positive cap to this program. 212-433-WNYC. Something uplifting that you, a movie, a book, a website, anything. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll take them for 5 minutes right after this.